Okay, Bible and Daily Lifers, we are in the Gospel of John, chapter 13. And now we're moving right along. We're closing in towards the end of the Gospel. And this is the last week of the life and ministry of Jesus. So we're picking up there, picking up in chapter 13. Jesus is having a meal with his disciples before the Passover. Chapter 13, verse 1. It was just before the Passover festival. So Jesus is in Jerusalem. He's going to die during the Passover festival. Jesus knew that the hour had come for him to leave this world and go to the Father. John started it out, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh and dwelt with us for a little while. Well, that little while is about expired. He's going to leave the earth. He's going to die a death on the cross, resurrected from the dead, and ascend into heaven. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. So he's talking about his disciples, those who were following him, the circle that was following his teaching. The evening meal was in progress, so they're eating together. And these meals would often take quite a while, which, what a great tradition, really, to have meals last a while, be with your friends, be with your family, spend time, talk. Well, the meal was in progress, and the devil had already prompted Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot, to betray Jesus. Well, one of his followers is going to betray him. This was prophesied in the Old Testament. Jesus knew the Father had put all things under his power, and that he had come from God and was returning to God. He's going to die, return to the Father, and we'll see some of that on the cross, some of the things he says to the Father as he's dying. So he got up from the meal, took off his outer garment, and wrapped a towel around his waist. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that he had wrapped around him. Well, this sounds a little odd. Why would you do that? Many of us don't celebrate Passover, so we don't know exactly what that feast might be like, but we know what it's like when we feast at Thanksgiving or maybe Easter or family gatherings, and it just seems like an odd thing to happen at a family gathering, right? Well, it's sort of a necessity. You see, in the ancient world, you're walking around constantly. There's no sidewalks. There's no pavement. Everything is dusty. Everything is dirty. So wherever you go, your feet get quite dirty. The dust gets caked on them. And so washing feet is something that's done quite a bit. People would be washing their feet. Now, often in a household, there would be many people sometimes that would live in a household. It wouldn't just be, you know, a mom and a dad and, you know, 2.5 kids or whatever it is right now. But you would have maybe several families living in what's called a household, and different people would have different responsibilities. And sometimes it would be the responsibility of someone who was a little bit lower on the chain at the moment to wash people's feet. And it was really, you know, the lower job, the bottom job. But it was a way of serving people. It was sort of a necessity, washing feet. They didn't have showers. They didn't have saunas. They didn't have hot tubs, you know, any of that stuff. They didn't have running water. It's difficult to get water. Water is a big deal. And so Jesus is really serving. Some people, you know, do this in a symbolic way. You know, let's have a foot washing. And nothing wrong with that, a symbolic foot washing, symbolizing that we're serving one another. But Jesus is, in fact, serving them and doing one of the lowliest things you can do to serve someone. So there you go. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" You know, just what's going on in Peter's mind. And Jesus said, "You don't realize now what I'm doing, but later on you'll understand." Well, I guess this would be later on. We're starting to understand a little bit what was going on here. "No," Peter said, "you'll never wash my feet. You're not going to do it." And Jesus said, "Unless I wash you, you have no part of me." Kind of interesting, Jesus serving Peter. And then, "Lord," Peter said, "not just my feet, but my hands and my head as well." And Jesus is like, "You know what? We're doing the feet." Peter always opens mouth and inserts foot, you know, no pun intended in this situation. Jesus answered, "Those who have had a bath only need to wash their feet. Their whole body is clean. And you're clean, though not every one of you. So now he's talking about being clean in your human personality. It's a little play on words here. For he knew the one who was going to betray him, and that's why he said, not every one of you is clean. When he had finished washing their feet, he put his clothes on and returned to the place. Now, his outer garments he had taken off, and you know, so he could wash, and now he's putting them back on. And he said, do you understand what I've just done for you? Do you understand it? You call me teacher. So he's the leader. He's the teacher. He's the one they're learning from. And you call me Lord. And rightly so, for that's what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I've set an example that you should do as I have done for you. Verily, I say to you, excuse me. Very truly, I say to you, no servant is greater than his master, nor is the messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you'll be blessed if you do them. You'll be blessed if you serve one another. You'll be blessed if you serve people. And you'll be blessed if you do the lowliest things for people. Not necessarily the most spectacular, maybe not necessarily the most visible, but serving people and doing some of the lowest things that you can do for people, just helping people. And then Jesus says, I am not referring to all of you. I know those that I've chosen, but this is to fulfill the passage of Scripture. He who shared bread with me has turned against me. So again, quoting the prophecies, quoting the Psalm, going all the way back to Psalm 41. He said, I'm telling you now before it happens. Well, that's what prophecy is. Prophecy is telling you something before it happens. And Jesus is pointing to the Scripture, and he said, this Scripture is about ready to happen. So that when it happens, you'll believe that I am who I am. Very truly, I tell you, whoever accepts anyone I send accepts me, and whoever accepts me accepts the one who sent me. So accepting one another and receiving each other. After he said this, Jesus was troubled in his spirit, and he testified, truly I tell you, one of you is going to betray me. The time is coming. Jesus is going to be betrayed by a kiss, and he's going to go to the cross. His disciples stared at one another at a loss to know what did he mean. One of us is going to betray him. One of them, the disciple whom Jesus loved, that would have been John, was reclining next to him. That's what John says of himself. Well, Jesus loves us all and certainly did love John. Simon Peter motioned to this disciple and said, ask him which one he means. So John is near him, leaning near him as they're reclining again. They sit on the floor when they're eating. And so, you know, you would recline on your arm, maybe on your elbow, and leaning over to say to Jesus, and Peter wants to know, you know, which one is it? Ask him which one it is, John. So leaning it back against Jesus, he asked him, he said, well, Lord, who is it? Who is it? Which one's it going to be? And Jesus answered, it's the one with whom I give this piece of bread when I've dipped it in the dish. So they're eating together, dipping it in the dish and passing it around. And then dipping the piece of bread, he gave it to Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot. And as soon as Judas took the bread, Satan entered into him. Jesus told him, what you're about to do, go ahead and do it quickly. But no one at the meal understood why Jesus said this to him. Since Judas had charge of the money, some thought Jesus was telling him, you know, go buy what they needed for the festival, for the feast. Jesus is going to die. They don't understand this. Or give something to the poor. They thought maybe Judas is going out. He's got the money. He's got the money bag. He's going to go out. He's going to buy what they need for the festival. Or maybe he's going to go out and make a gift to the poor on behalf of Jesus and his disciples. So that's kind of interesting, right? Jesus and his disciples were in the habit of giving to the poor. And as soon as Judas had taken the bread, he went out, and it was night. And when he was gone, Jesus said, now the Son of Man is glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God is glorified in him, God will glorify the Son in himself and will glorify himself at once. My children, speaking to his disciples, I'll be with you only a little while longer, not much more. You'll look at me, and just as I told the Jews, so I tell you, where I'm going, you can't come. He's going to die. So what's he going to do before he's going to die? What does he say to them? A new command I give to you. Well, here's a new command. There's 614 commands in the Old Testament. What's the new command? Here's the command. Love one another. Love one another. As I have loved you, so you should love one another. By this will everyone know that you're my disciples, if you have love one for another. That's the mark of a Christian. The mark of the Christian is that we love one another. Love is the mark of the Christian, not church membership, not self-righteousness, not religious ritual, not bumper stickers. It's love. Love. And Simon Peter asked him, Lord, where are you going? And Jesus said, where I'm going, you can't follow, but you'll follow later. It'll happen to you later. You'll die, and these guys are going to die violent deaths because of their faith, just like Jesus. And then Jesus answered, will you? And Peter said, Lord, why can't I follow you now? I'll lay down my life for you. Peter's so strong, so spiritually strong, so confident, so self-confident. And Jesus said, will you really lay down your life for me? Very truly, I tell you, before the rooster crows, you'll disown me three times. You know, this is just religious sentiment, just religious words. Peter trying to be so courageous, so religious, so holy, so righteous, so strong. You know, you can't make it on your own. Jesus is the one who's trusting in Jesus, not trusting in herself, trusting in her own ability, trusting in her own righteousness, trusting in her own loyalty. Trust Jesus. Trust Jesus. That's what it's all about, just trusting Jesus. So we're moving through John. We'll be in John chapter 14 next time, and we'll be talking about the Holy Spirit, Bible and daily life. Hey, bless you guys.